And good morning. It's bourbonblog.com, a story we first brought you just about a year ago. We've been following it. It's Trey Zoller, founder of Jefferson's Bourbon, on the phone with me. And this is amazing. It's the Jefferson's journey has come to an end. Coincidentally, Trey, almost a year of the day. Tell us how this whole thing wrapped up.
It's been a hell of a journey, but we tapped into the bourbon yesterday, and it was absolutely blew my mind. It was delicious and very different than the control that we had from Kentucky. Unplanned, and ironically enough, it was a year to the date that we landed here in New York 8 months after we intended to. We were hoping to land it last October prior to Halloween. Tropical storm, two hurricanes, one of which took out one of our boats. We had four boats involved with the journey, two barrels. We had to ship first new barrel heads down to Tampa Bay after Hurricane Hermine hit because our barrel heads had warped and popped. And then I sent new barrels down to Key West so we can siphon the juice out of the old barrels. Excuse me. American Airlines, please. Sorry about that. We had to siphon the barrel out of the old barrels being only 9 months old, but the integrity of them were so sacrificed after the first part of the journey that I didn't think, and after the team would arrived up in New York, those barrels wouldn't have made it.
So you and I talked on June 6th of 2016. It arrives June 6th, and the biggest challenges along the way, what months were they in?
Well, the big challenges, we got down to New Orleans. It took us 58 days, and we were trying to do it historically as accurate as possible. So we distilled the bourbon in January of 2016, waited for what would have been the spring floods or around June to go ahead and run the bourbon down the rivers. It took us 58 days as we instructed our captain to really float it down the rivers. So those 58 days that it took down to get to New Orleans, we had seven straight days of 100 plus degree temperatures and went through 32 locks and finally made it to New Orleans and transferred the barrels from a 23-foot small little cuddy cabin to Chef John Besh's 38-foot rum runner. And tried to depart, I think it was on August 8th, and a tropical storm that flooded out the state of Louisiana hit. We tried to take off for 8 days. The seas were too rough. Those barrels got bounced around and before we could take off. Then we did get all the way over to Tampa Bay and hit out during Hurricane Hermine. And after Hurricane Hermine hit, it really just tore up the barrels. As I said, I think it was all the pounding of the rain for those many days and the sun drying it out. It had bleached and warped the barrel heads to where they had popped. So I had to screw on new barrel heads in Tampa Bay before we took back off and finally landed in Key West and it shipped new barrels down there. And at that point, I got to siphon the whiskey out of the original barrels that were 9 months old into new barrels. I said at the time, the smoothest whiskey that I'd ever had. You could still tell that it was young because it was awful grainy up front. It really just all that battering on the barrel, it stripped astringency from the alcohol. So I have not tasted the whiskey since last September until 2 days ago. We had to transfer the barrels yet again onto a small boat that we ran up to Fort Lauderdale. Tried to put it on another boat. However, the boat that we were going to use to take the rest of the way of the journey got damaged by Hurricane Matthew, severely damaged so much that not only could it not take the trip, but it's still under repairs. We wintered in Fort Lauderdale, finally put it on another boat in Fort Lauderdale in April, and I think they said they spent 49 days traveling up the East Coast, over 1,400 nautical miles, before landing on the 6th, which was pretty amazing. And we drilled into it, and we brought controls that were distilled on the same day and aged in Kentucky and tasted those first, which tastes like fine 18-month-old bourbon. But when we went to this, I mean, this is it's very, very dark. It has a lot of weight on it. My whole theory about this was, why did bourbon proliferate in Kentucky? And why is 95% of the world's bourbon from Kentucky? People will say the limestone water and the fluctuation of temperatures. Excuse me. Thank you very much. I'm getting out of Cabot, LaGuardia right now. So my theory is that And when people started distilling on the western slope of the Appalachian Mountains in Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Georgia, limestone water and questionable and fluctuating temperatures throughout that area. But Kentucky had the route to the market, river systems and waterways, and that's where bourbon, or I should say whiskey, really transformed into bourbon at that time on that journey. And that's why the people on the East Coast, where the populace of the United States lived, demanded the bourbon from Kentucky and paid a lot more for it. I had two theories, one of which, the reason that bourbon proliferated in Kentucky is because of what happened during the journey and how it transformed and massaged the bourbon. And two is that the bourbon tasted a lot more like Jefferson's Ocean than bourbon distilled and aged in Kentucky. So as I got in and tasted it, I will certainly stand by my first theory that it is vastly different than bourbon that's distilled and aged in Kentucky for that same amount of time. Unbelievably easy drinking, unbelievably flavorful. A lot of caramel and almost honey really comes out of it. But I did not get the brininess that I get with the ocean. You get a little hint of it, and we have been on or around salt water since August of last year. So I would have thought that that brininess really would have come through. However, I guess not being on the open seas where it's more condensed, evidently. Excellent, excellent whiskey. As we had it up against a bottle of Jefferson's Ocean that's aged and distilled in Kentucky for 8 years before we put it on the ocean and go to 30 ports on 5 continents across the equator 4 times. It was darker than that, even though it's 18 months old. It literally just slides down your throat with lots of flavors. It's really blew my mind and exceeded my expectations.
And for this whiskey, was there any flavor you got on it that you were not expecting? Was there anything that you had tasted on this one that you had with your other bourbons you had not?
The honey came out so much.
The honey.
Yeah, which surprised me. And
wow.
It came off, it was about 118 proof when we tried it out, when we put a hydrometer on it. It when I cut it down to about 90, that's where that honey just poured out.
And the honey comes from where do you think the honey comes from?
I think the heat that it's exposed to throughout all that time, you know, those sugars really caramelize when that heat comes out. And you get that hard, you know, it's a ton of caramel and a ton of honey.
For these two barrels, which you named, again, the two barrels are named?
I'm on a boat and fantastic voyage.
So what happens to these barrels now? Are they still in New York? When did it, what happens next? What are the next steps for the barrels?
Okay, we just offloaded them actually this morning, and they are going to be en route now to Kentucky, where we're going to bottle them up. We're going to bottle them up in a pack, so it'll have 200 milliliter bottles, one of which is our control that has been resting in Kentucky. It was distilled on the same day at our distillery in Crestwood, Kentucky, and has been maturing in our barrel warehouse for the last 18 months. And the other bottle is one of the is bourbon from the journey. So it was distilled the same day, same mash bill, just spent the last 18 months on the water. So, you can, it's a great control. It's great to taste it next to each other. The first one is a perfectly fine 18-month-old bourbon, but that's all it is. And the second one, you'll see it straight from the color and the viscosity of it right away. And certainly when you taste it, it's a tremendous difference.
Excellent. And this will be called something like the Jefferson's Journey Package, or and is that right?
Correct. You
Jefferson's
got
Journey Package, 200 milliliter bottles, Jefferson's Journey Package. Any idea when we're going to see it on the market and what the asking price will be?
I don't know what the asking price is going to be as of yet. We're going to give a number of packs away to
to auction off for charity for John Beshen's
Excellent.
Foundation
Very
and
nice.
For the osearch.org organization. And I can guarantee you this is the most expensive bourbon ever put into a bottle. With the expense that we incurred taking this journey, this is by no means a moneymaker for us, but it was a great experiment. It was a great expedition that, that's something I thought about for a good 3 years prior to when we took off. And it gave me so much respect for the people that did it 150 years ago, which I don't believe it has happened, anything anybody has done this in that time.
Right.
As we had the luxury of FedExing barrels down to Key West, they would have had to cooper it on the fly, and certainly there were more coopers around and available at that time.
The consumers can be looking for the bottles. Is it, you think, by fall they'll be out? Or?
Yes. Yeah, we should have it by fall. We've got our colas on it, so dumping it, bottling it, and packaging it, so we should have it out by the fall.
Excellent. Well, Trey, this is very exciting. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to us on your journey to the airport, journey back to Kentucky. Do you think you may put a couple more boats on another kind of vessel at some point?
Well, I've always thought that at some point we'll try to figure out a way to commercialize this, but I wasn't going to speculate how to do that until we tasted the final product. And we're going to go ahead and reverse engineer it. I've got somebody that's going to break them down molecularly and see what happened see the difference from the control to the one that went on the journey. So once we get that information, then, I certainly, as I saw and tasted the results of it, I want to find a way that we can do this on a larger scale and let everybody get a chance to experience what people were drinking for the first time 150 years ago.
Well done, my friend. Trey Zoller of Jefferson's Bourbon. Thanks again.
You got it, Tom. Thanks. Take care.
Cheers, man. Bye-bye.